introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this!
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. It is a special episode because we have a special guest on with us tonight, and it's the off season. The off season is long. Figure we'll mix things up a little bit. We get a lot of shows, a lot of football talk, but we also want to get to know some of the people who are bringing us all of the content that we love to consume so much. A couple weeks ago, we had Matthew Collar on. This week, we have the man, the myth, the legend, quite possibly the hardest working person in and around the Vikings blogosphere, Andy Carlson, my man. How you doing?
Hey, Jason. Glad to be here, man. What was that movie where they had, like, because you have a great voice. I've always wanted to tell you that. What was the movie where they had the DJ, like, sort of, Warriors. Yeah. Where they had this DJ that was off camera and she just had this great voice. You're like that, except a dude.
Hey, I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
It's a very deep reference, but
Warriors gonna come out and play. And you know, we also have the man who might be driving an Uber right now. Yinka decided he wanted to pop in, say what's up as well. What's going on, Sexy Prince?
I love how consistently Andy and Jason show their age with movies that no one has heard of unless you were born prior to the 1990s. It's amazing.
Oh, see, Warriors is way before my time, though. It's like, I can drop some hot outsiders now at 92. Like, where are you going to find where Tom Cruise is like the 12th banana on a movie?
That's what I want to know. That's taking it way, way, way back. Way back. So we're going to jump right in. Andy will, I guess, you know, I feel like most people listening to this show will have listened to you on some platform somewhere. But I guess I just want to start off a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up becoming the person putting out content every day for the people of Vikings Twitter and all around Vikings related things.
Well, I grew up as a Vikings fan, and my earliest memory was when, I guess that would be four, but I remember when Tommy Kramer, NFC title game, Washington, the pass just doinked off of Darren Nelson's hands. I guess that sort of cemented it. Also, who remembers stuff from when they're four? Unless it was super traumatic, but I guess that fits the bill. But then I got locked in, 98 Vikings, of course, which is a lot of people our age's stories. And yeah, ever since then, I always loved the team through thick and thin, mostly thin right after thick. Like, it's like if you get a cheesecake and then you find out it's a fat-free cheesecake, and you're like, you lied to me. That's what the Vikings are.
Do you even eat cheesecake anymore?
Oh, yeah, no. See, on the keto, it's like you can make a super great cheesecake where it's all fat, a little stevia. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, I'm going to need you to send me that recipe. I'm actually interested to hear how that works. Cheesecake. Stevia cheesecake. Okay.
And then as far as the podcast, it was week. I always mix these numbers up. It was week 14 of the 2013 season, the Baltimore Ravens game in the blizzard, where it was like 3-2 going into the fourth quarter, and it ended up being like 39-36. Toby Gerhardt taking a draw play for 60 yards. Cordero had a kick return for a touchdown, and Vikings still lost because Joe Flacco, who was elite, 80 yards, 45 seconds, no timeouts, something to Marlon Moore. And it was basically, I wanted to bitch about Leslie. I was like, yeah, Leslie's a nice guy, but this ain't working out. And so I just recorded like a 10-minute semi-rant, and I was just going to email it to my friends, and I'd be like, oh, that's it. But then one of them suggested, hey, you should make a podcast out of this. And then I Googled what that was, and then I tried it, and then put a couple up, and some people listened, and that's basically how we got to here.
So I guess walk us through what that the starting point was like. Would you go from just kind of recording a rant about Leslie Frazier, which is something I'm sure many of us wish we had done, to the point where you go from just a couple people listening to where you have the pod, YouTube channel, and you're doing all of the things you're doing now. Like, how quickly did everything kind of speed up for you, where you realized this was something you'd be able to do really every day?
It's something you'll really realize when you're in the thick of it. You're just sort of, you got your head down, you're working, you never take a bird's eye view of things. And that's basically what it's been, where it started out as a hobby and then became a side hustle. And now it's progressing on to more than that, hopefully down the line, where it just sort of becomes a part of you, where I honestly couldn't think of a day where I just wake up and I'm not like, hey, I have zero thoughts about the third tight end. Like, Gronklin, it's breakout season. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, so like, how often do you and Eric just message each other back and forth about obscure Vikings, either trivia or like the last man on the roster and some random fact? Because that seems like what you just said right there, that's a very Eric Eager type of thing, where it's just all of a sudden you're getting a reference from the backup running back from 83 or something.
Well, that's the funny thing, was when Eric's on the show, or we get together when he's back up here in Minnesota, it's like half of it is, oh, hey, remember Dwayne Clemens and Chad May? Yeah, they were great.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. Sorry, Prince, I feel like I cut you off there. Were you jumping in trying to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, not a lot of people know it. I mean, maybe not even Andy knows it, but when I got onto Twitter and roughly like just before the 2014 draft, Andy was actually one of the first podcasts that I ever started listening to.
Pretty consistent
to a show
single week, so it was just definitely weird to befriend him and kind of look up to him. So yeah,
I do say Andy, it's been a pleasure for the last couple of years to. Like I said, just to interact with you and be friends and whatnot, and
hey, really appreciate that, Yinka, and of course the feeling is mutual. And also I think that you're just trying to butter me up because you're on the show tomorrow.
I mean, he's a wise man.
This is a Climb in the Pocket week, because I'm on here with the CTP proper, as well as you got Yank and Miles at the Blue Door tomorrow. Then, Jay Reed bopping in on Thursday. It's like, oh, just run through the entire roster.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take it. And I'm glad Yank brought up Twitter, because that was, I think, for many of us, most of us, myself included, that was my first interaction with you. But for as much great work and hard work that you do, and I don't think that anyone could really knock the hustle, you put in there, you grind, and you get the work done every day. There seems to be like a strange kind of hate, or I don't know what it is, but there seems to be an underlying kind of, I don't know if it's resentment or what, I guess. Do you feel that? And are those people who are kind of making the snarky remarks about you on Twitter, do they kind of follow you to your other platforms and give you grief there as well? Or is that something that is just kind of isolated in Vikings Twitter, where people just kind of bring their saltiness to you there?
No, see, the thing is, I've talked to Doogie about this, because Doogie gets a little uneasy about Twitter comments sometimes. Of course, he's got a larger target on his back as being an actual news person. But I think I've just realized that I was born in the future and sent back to the past, because I'm uniquely set up for the age of social media, because this whole phenomenon of people 24/7 being able to say directly to you, well, directly through the internet, exactly what they think. I don't care. I have like zero care at all of what anyone thinks, like good, bad, or otherwise. So maybe that's some sociopathic tendencies, I don't know, but honestly it is pretty entertaining to watch the timeline burn sometimes, like when people really get caught up in their feels and they go back and forth, they start arguing, and they're hashtag mad online. It's just like, none of this matters.
Why not? So even mad? A little bit. No. Not even a little bit. Even though you just described like the first year of Yink and I knowing each other on the internet, with me trying to convince him that running backs don't matter, and him not liking that at all, at all, at all.
Well, it'd been like, why are you reaching for a running back at 7 when you had Chester Taylor 1,000-yard back in 2006? What is happening?
But you mentioned something there about not caring, and that was one of the things that really stood out in that piece that you shared on Medium, where you talked about your athletic career, football, concussions. And it just kind of struck me how even in that you brought up the fact that you just don't care. Has that always been what you've been like, or who you've been, or is that something you've grown into over time where you've developed a tougher skin since you've been doing this, or have you always been a guy who just really didn't give a shit what people were saying or thinking about him?
I don't really know. I think it's mainly just a minimalist thing. You know, like there's a very small group of things that are important in life, and then everything else is pretty much window dressing. Like when people get in like holy wars about things online, especially as stupid and trivial as sports ball, it's like, now those are priorities out of whack. Also, it's just it's a complete a lack of gratitude for how good things are. It's like, really, like you're emotionally invested and caught up about what a stranger says to you on the internet, as opposed to being grateful for how great this world is. It's wonderful. Like, this is the best time in human civilization to be living, and also probably one of the best simulations. Well, maybe not, but you know.
I hope this isn't the best simulation. I mean, best time to be alive, no doubt, but this simulation, we can take a left out of this one at any point. They would like to maybe get us in version 1B or something. That'd be okay.
Could be a lot worse.
It's true. It could definitely be a lot worse. And another thing that, you know, I follow, I feel like we end up, we follow a lot of the same things, but you also, you refer to yourself as an MMA noob. How deep into that are you? How much time do you spend kind of studying the MMA stuff in comparison to what you're doing with the football stuff?
It's definitely a surface level fandom, but it's really refreshing because I feel like in football, once you start doing this for a living, it becomes you really get down in the weeds, and that you can't really just appreciate the surface level stuff, where for me in MMA is like, yeah, I'm learning some more of the jiu-jitsu stuff, some more of the various martial arts that goes in. But it's just like, oh, hey, that dude's kicking that other dude's ass. Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I'm sure it's annoying because there are some MMA wizards out there who know everything from A to B. But for me, like, this is my pro wrestling. Like, people are really big fans of pro wrestling, and it doesn't get too technical and it's not too serious. But that's basically me with MMA at this point.
Are you still training?
Yeah, I roll no gi probably twice a month.
Get Yinka out there. Yinka, hey. You need to go train. You need to go train with Andy.
Well, see, here's the thing though. I think Yinka would like it too much, and then he would end up just like murdering people, and he's too nice for that.
Yeah, it's good for him though. It's good
just
for
him. Claps and windpipes all over the place.
You always tell me all the time that I'm an actor and I need to develop some kind of a vice. So maybe that's it.
I mean, Yinka, right now, Nigerians are kind of taking over the UFC. Up until Saturday night, I think Nigerians had won 17 straight fights in the UFC. And then, unfortunately, a dude who was the second Nigerian to fight on the card went out there and the streak came to an end when he didn't know what to do when he got caught in a triangle choke. But, you know, it seems that it's in your DNA, man. Get in there, learn a little something. You might be the next Ultimate Fighter. Or at least maybe you get to play him in a movie or something.
Yeah, a lot of those stunt doubles are making.
Just go Michael B. Jordan in Creed, and then be like, "Hey, I could probably beat Roy Jones," and be like, "Roy Jones is like 45, but he'd still whoop your ass." Come on.
would you actually be a stunt double, Yinka?
I mean, I thought about it for a while. I mean, I was doing gymnastics for a number of years, and that was actually prior to like really getting knee deep. But the problem is like gymnastics really kind of destroyed my body. So like my back, knees and neck are not in the greatest condition. I could probably get back into it, but it would definitely speed up how old of a man I would be.
Here's the thing, Yinka, if you have back and neck problems, jiu-jitsu is definitely for you.
Absolutely. You'll fit right in. You'll fit right in with everybody else. On day one, you'll be ready. Yeah, you hurt just so you know that you're alive, Yinka. You'll be good to go. But Andy, one of the other things that that you are very passionate about when you're not doing the football stuff is it's really the food and the working out and the waking up really early in the morning. What order do those things come in? Like, did you just listen to a Jocko podcast and then just start eating steak and waking up at 4 a.m. or were you already kind of an early riser and all those other things just kind of came along with it?
Well, I've always been, naturally an early riser, but then, listen to some of Jocko stuff. I was like, oh, I can do this. And so it just sort of took over the fourth thing. And the whole, going to bed at 8 or 9, it's you're really not missing much, especially during the week. And yeah, on the weekends, sure, it kind of sucks. Like maybe you miss a social event here or there or, a fight or a game or whatever. But it's like, yeah, whatever. Plus, it's great during the week. If you get up at 4:30, and so I get up at 4:30, doodle around with some emails, get some work done, run a mile, and then just finish up some more work. And by the time the kid wakes up at 7, it's like you're almost done with the day. It's great.
You run a mile every day?
Yeah, mainly because I don't like running at all, so I make myself do it.
Okay, so walk me through that there. Like what you don't like running, so you force yourself to run a mile every day. Why are you doing that? What is the thought process behind starting your day with something that you utterly dislike?
I know, just something to check the box, just a little challenge where I can do it, really don't like doing it, but I know that it will be beneficial. So just knock it out, you're good.
And is this like outdoor running, treadmill?
No, I got a treadmill literally right next to me in the studio. It's great.
Wow. Okay. That's one thing that at some point I'm going to figure it out. Like I despise running with a passion. And so at some point I probably need to just, as Rogan says, kill my inner bitch and get out there and start doing it.
Jason, I found basketball has been my cardio go-to.
Yeah, but you like basketball.
You don't like basketball, bro?
No, I like basketball. I'm saying, like, playing a sport is easy. I'll do that all day. But Andy's starting the day off with something he knows he doesn't like.
Ugh, couldn't like be me.
Like a mental toughness kind of thing.
No, it's actually really easy. Just turn on the treadmill, put some music on, turn Fight Pass on, then, miles done. All right, good.
Okay. Yeah, maybe get a treadmill. Maybe I should go for a run first and see if I actually can stick with it for a week before I get a treadmill. But yeah, that's super interesting for me. And I guess with the keto, how did that play into everything else? Was that something that you discovered, kind of through that Jocko, Rogan, Tim Ferriss health and wellness kind of circle, or is that something you just kind of researched on your own and fell into?
Well, I actually started with a guy named Vinny Tortorich, who's a health and fitness guy, but he does no sugar, no grain, and got onto that, dropped, 40 pounds pretty easily, but been vacillating lately. Definitely been getting into the pizza and whatnot, but sometimes good to have a cheat month, I guess, is good. But in terms of just not really a diet, but just changing the way that you eat for long term, because everyone getting our age, you got some joint issues, you got a little bit of a lower T perhaps. So, just stoking the flames and dropping some pounds and just trying to be the best version 3.0 of yourself that you can be.
3.0. What was 2.0?
I don't know. 2.0 was college Andy, and he was way more fun.
Did you get the lucid dreams? That's what kicked me off of like going super, super, super keto, is that I would just get really, really, really crazy lucid dreams when I was in ketosis.
No, but I want that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, basically every night I was tripping balls when I was going to sleep. I was like, this is too much, man. it's too much. So just some carbs, a little bit of carbs, generally from fruits, avoid the sugar. But ketosis and my brain chemistry, they do not mix very well. Not even a little bit. But before we went on and we were talking a little bit, we do have you on. You are obviously someone who talks and lives and breathes the Vikings. So we have to ask you a few questions related to the Vikings. What are your thoughts on the state of this team right now? Because you have a lot of takes. But as you said, you generally don't seem like you take yourself too seriously. And you obviously you're putting out stuff every day. So you have a lot of takes that kind of fly out there. So we had to get you pinned down. Like, where are you at with this team? What are your thoughts on last season? And where do you see them going as we get into the thick of this offseason for 2019?
I think overall, the Vikings way overachieved in 2017. They underachieved in 2018. Kirk Cousins, even though he has his flaws, and it's not so much the $84 million contract, it's more of a ROI, or what are you getting for that money sort of deal? Because I don't think Cousins is ever changing his stripes. I think he's a top 10-ish on a given day quarterback, but really is somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. You can win games with him. You will not win games because of him. Necessarily, but that is okay. As long as everything is perfect around him, he can do enough to keep in games as long as Bad Kirk doesn't show up. I think Mike Zimmer is one of the more underrated defensive minds of his generation. And also, I think that the fact that they kept Anthony Barr is low-key, that was the signing of the offseason. Like, that was the move of the offseason because, that 18-hour period when he was going to the Jets, I don't think it necessarily sunk in to fans how hard it was going to be to replace 55, even though he coasts, he takes plays off. He's like, yeah, get out of here. But overall, pretty hopeful for what they do heading into 2019. I think the ownership laid down the law with Zimmer and Spielman. I don't think it was an accident that everyone's contract wraps up at the end of Kirk Cousins, because I think that Spielman and Zimmer are all in with number 8. And sometimes when you go all in, you lose. And if it works out, everyone stays. If it doesn't, everyone is gone. No more chips. See you at the next tournament. But overall, just snag an offensive lineman, get some other pieces. This team could be pretty dangerous. The defense is largely intact. And I say bring it. But I said I'm a little bit more bullish on 2019 than most people are. I understand that 2018 was a bit of a disappointment, but also, yeah, they're due for regression.
So, like you said, it's unlikely that Kirk Cousins is going to change his stripes, and that if things around him are pretty close to perfect, he can be a pretty good quarterback. What are you hoping to see happen as we get into the draft that is going to create that situation around him that's as good as you think we can get with I guess the ammo that we have left for this offseason?
Ideally come out of rounds 1 or 2 with a starting offensive line piece. And even though guard is the vacant spot open, even though Brett Jones got resigned, I think he could start in a pinch. But they should be looking for tackle. And if it's Juwan Taylor, he's my crush. Love him. Great. Jonah Williams, also great. Dillard be more of a project, but wouldn't mind having him in the building. And if we snag one of those three, kick Reef into guard, and then just sort of eat the cost, let him be the fourth highest paid guard league, who cares? And then just roll with that, where Cousins was the fifth most pressured quarterback in the league last year. And if you can suture that up, even though he did get a little bit more acclimated to the pressure, you saw, I mean, later on in the season, it just wasn't there. It was rough. Like that Cousins that we saw Green Bay game, as well as the Rams game, where he's going toe to toe in LA, go right after hobbled Marcus Peters. What is up? Like big balls, Kirk. That went away because he straight up floundered in both Chicago games, the Patriots game, Seattle game, all games that the Vikings really needed against primetime opponents. And yeah, you can blame the offensive line, but it is everything else around him too. And again, getting Kirk all of those toys and weapons, like getting him a great move tight end, getting him a wide receiver 3, getting him all that stuff, giving him a semblance of an offensive line. It's making sure that he's very comfortable. I think that's going to give the Vikings best chance of success. But of course, Zimmer's going to take Reed Williams at 18, so it all doesn't matter.
So yeah, that's a question that when I had Eric and Nick Olson on Sunday night when we recorded, that was one of the things that we talked through as we were talking about coaching. Is the strength of the Vikings team is the defense. That is without a doubt. The defense has been an elite unit over the past few years, but there are some places where depth is a little shaky. And as Eric will always tell you, that you know, you're always just a couple plays away from your defensive, you know, backfield where we think we have depth right now. You know, we're not very far away from, as Eric said, starting, you know, Holden Hill, you know, Mackenzie Alexander and Mike Hughes, right? So with all that said, and us understanding that we need to create this perfect environment around Kirk Cousins, how much of your ammo are you spending on the offensive side of the ball versus the defensive side of the ball, given where this team is and where some of the potential holes might be lurking on either side of the ball?
Well, I think if you just knock out that one remaining offensive line starter, everything else is carte blanche. I mean, Zimmer can get whatever the hell he wants. Yeah, he can get that edge piece, which I think could be a low-key need since Everson's contract could go could be voided after next year. And also Stephen Wedley is unrestricted free agent. So, you know, grabbing an edge guy, grabbing some linebacker depth, and especially grabbing cornerback, because you mentioned it, like an injury or two, things can get rough. And the Vikings, even though the secondary was bad last year at stretches, especially beginning of the season, like, people don't realize that how much worse it could have been if the Vikings didn't have that depth. Like, if they didn't have Hughes before he tore his ACL, if they didn't have Holden Hill as a priority UDFA, like, it could have gotten really salty back there. And you just look at where these guys were drafted too. Waynes, Rhodes, first round picks, same thing with Hughes. Mack was the second. Holton would have been probably a third, fourth round pick if he didn't have his stuff. So, you know, the fact that two of those guys, Waynes and Mack, may not be back next year because they're in contract years, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Vikings took an O-lineman at 18. Then all of a sudden Rick and Zimmer are like, that Rocky Sin guy's fall in the second round, or Julian Love or Justin Lane are just chilling there at 50, then yoink, and then people freak out. It'd be hilarious for me as well.
People are definitely gonna freak out. Eric even said that, you know, if it was him, he might take a corner at 18 just to watch the world burn because it would be great. Vikings Twitter would be no more if something had happened, but it might be the right move depending on how the board fell.
I
don't know. Kirk Cousins, like you said, he's the exact same person he was before he got to the Vikings. I think the contract for many gave us, we raised expectations for Kirk in a way that probably shouldn't, based on what his entire career had been.
Well, yeah, I think the large part about how $84 million has become a meme, where it wasn't so much the figure, it was about who the money was spent on. Where if you had Cousins for, you know, 3 for $60, do that all day, then also keep Sheldon Richardson around. But I mean, also outside of the court, is like, hell, when Drew Brees could have been a free agent for like that half a second, I was fully on board to like pay him $40 million, I do not care, sort of deal. So it's all about relative value.
It really is. If we spent $40 million on Drew Brees with the rest of this team being what it was, I think we would have been okay.
Yeah.
We would have been all right. And I say all these things, I'm very surprised Jinka hasn't chimed in to say, well, who are you talking about? We, because we know where he is at with the Kirk Cousins. But because he also hates himself, he's going back through season.
Do you know exactly how I feel about the Kirk Cousins thing, Jason? Just making sure.
You love Kirk Cousins now. You're going back. Yeah, through. You're finding all his great plays and making sure that they get posted up there on Daily Norseman so people know that you can be objective about Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. Yeah, I have weeks 3 and 4 coming up sometime this week. So I'm trying my best, Jason.
How was week 3?
Awful. It was awful, you guys. Like, and it wasn't all Kirk's fault, obviously. When you're getting blown out 27-0, there's just not much of the playbook that can really help you out. But it was just, it was not pretty to watch at all. So there's probably, I think I found one play. So it's going to be a very short post.
Week 4?
Week 4, still chopping it up, almost done. So.
All right. Well, Yink, I'm going to start with you on this one. We got our first set of over-unders. And it looks like the Vikings are coming in right around 9. Where are you on the Vikings as we head into next season? You taking the over or the under at this point? Obviously, we know the draft hasn't happened yet. What are you feeling?
Over the under on what? Excuse me? Sorry.
Nine wins for the Vikings?
I'm going to say over for the time being. Right at 10 wins.
Okay. And how about you, Andy? You've been very optimistic about things. At least it's sounding like you're being pretty optimistic about things. Where are you at with the Vikings? And yeah, 9 is the number going at this point in the season.
I'm going to go with 11 over. Woof.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. 11. I'm sure at some point on one of your shows, you're going to walk us through how that all works out. But 11, is it just because of the schedule being a little bit easier? You think that we're going to have some positive regression on the O-line? What's getting you to the 11 wins based on the season you just saw?
A little bit of everything. And also, see, schedule comes out in like a week or two, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is usually when they drop it to break up the dead zone that is this period of no free agency. And I mean, the Vikings actually announced on their Twitter feed that Sean Mannion left. Like, that's the point of the offseason we're in right now.
And I love this part because I could just make stuff up. Like, the video for tomorrow afternoon is going to be why the Vikings should sign Young Hoku.
Oh, that's old boy from San Diego, right?
Yeah, he's tearing up the AAF, Atlanta Legends, my team, which is also terrible. He's perfect down there.
Yeah, that was also my team. I made a horrible decision when we were picking those teams on the fly on the podcast earlier this offseason. But you just also reminded me of something, but I feel like this might be a little racist because of what reminded me of it. You can't play Sudoku, Andy?
No, I don't even know what that is.
I mean, in your article, you put in there that you like to play Sudoku, but you're terrible at it.
Oh, did I? Oh, man. No. Sorry. I was thinking about Mahjong.
Yeah, no. Okay. Mahjong. Yeah, I can't play either of these things. Yinka, can you play Mahjong? Sudoku? Do you gamble at all?
Nah, Jason, I'm a Christian man.
That might take me on a tangent that'll take up an entire show right there. But the Christian man, Yinka Allende, have a conversation with your mother, see how she feels about all that. When was the last time you were at church on Sunday?
What were we talking about as far as football and stuff and whatnot?
Oh, my bad. All right. Well, you know, we are coming towards the end of our time with Andy here, but I just wanted to circle back here. So we're saying 11 wins for the Vikings. You're feeling like everything is, generally speaking, going to regress to a place that puts us in a better place overall. Other than Kirk Cousins, as you look forward, what is going to be the big storyline about the Vikings that we're talking about at this point next offseason?
Next offseason. Well, who is up? Well, Everson, I believe, is probably gone. It's unfortunate. Vikings are going to have to shuffle around with the cap again because the way that Barr's deal was structured, of course, hashtag the cap is a myth. Rob Brzezinski is the wizard of cap. That contract's going to come home to roost big in 2020. So they're going to have a similar spot to this year where they're just up against it again. But I think Riley Reiff will be gone. So the Vikings will have a new left tackle, the future du jour coming up. Maybe it's a guy that they draft. Maybe it's Brian O'Neill, who really knows. And also, I mean, this is a low key too. Linval's contract gets very edible after this season, where also too, he's, you know, he's still Linval, but he's not Linval, you know, where he's going to be 31 and it's maybe closing time. It makes me sad.
Yeah, that.
Ooh, also Harrison's going to need a new deal. Well, he's going to want to bang out one more monster extension before his time is up, and he's 30 now, so now would be the time to do it. So that one's coming up. Also, yeah, basically everyone is either getting paid or getting cut. It's going to be fire next offseason.
Yeah, and is Trey Wayans on the Vikings as of like week 4 this year?
Or week 4 next year?
Of this year, like
this, coming, this year.
Yeah. You know what? Just because I want to stir the pot, I think the Vikings just barely get to 10 wins and have a first round exit, and then they're thinking about bringing Mike Zimmer's thinking about bringing his son home. That's what
the Odyssey is. Mike Zimmer's gonna go down with his boys, huh?
Oh yeah, he's going straight to New Orleans, and he's gonna say, "My son, please come home."
Yeah, Yeah, you just couldn't not do it.
Of course not.
I appreciate that about you, Prince. What were you saying there, Andy?
No, I love that conspiracy theory too. It's like, well, why do you think Teddy signed a 1-year deal? Kirk's gonna waive his no trade clause. No, but also this time next year, it's gonna be the holy war debate. Like, say the Vikings do get 10-11 wins, make the playoffs, maybe it's a one and done, whatever, like some modicum of success. It will be the holy war antebellum about whether or not to extend Kirk Cousins.
Oh God.
Yeah. And of course, but he's not gonna do it though.
At this point, I don't even see like the staunchest Kirk Cousins supporter out there talking about giving him more money. But like, yeah, you're right. If we even look somewhat decent in some games, people are gonna wanna to pay him again. But Kirk Cousins ain't gonna take. He's going all the way to free agency, maximizing his leverage as he does every single time.
Yeah, him and McCartney are financial gangsters, like playing out the tag twice in Washington, going to open free agency. He's going to do it again. It syncs up with the new CBA, where the salary cap could theoretically go up to like 250. And like, God, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where Kirk Cousins' next deal, 2021, he could be averaging $40 million a year. And it wouldn't necessarily be an insane figure.
Oh, my favorite part of the offseason has been Trevor Siemian. The fact that we had to have Sean Mannion come here in the first place, that McCartney maxed out Kurt, and then Siemian had to leave so he could go get his money someplace else because we didn't have the table scraps to give Trevor. So McCartney's other person just bounced because Kurt took all our money.
That's a good agent.
Yeah, it's a very good agent. Very good agent. There's no discounts for anybody.
It's like Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo having the same agent. He's like, we got to get these guys separate.
And Jimmy G got all his cash.
Can I ask a question again? This is me stirring the pot, but not really. Kirk Cousins was healthy all last season, kind of similar to the year that Bradford came in. Not hoping that it happens, just asking, what happens if Kirk Cousins has an injury that, you know, shells him for, you know, 15 games out of the season? What do you think the Vikings will do?
They will tank, everyone will get fired, and yeah, we hope we get one of those. That next QB class is supposed to be pretty good, though, right?
Is that the Tua class? No, I think Kyle Jerome Sluter takes him to the promised land. Goes full Kurt Warner.
Oh, that, I mean, on the one hand, that'd be great because, you know, we would have won a Super Bowl. On the other hand, Don from Ohio would just be impossible to deal with for the rest of all of eternity.
Well, here's my thing on Sluter. Like, it's clear that they're fans of him, even though, you know, they brought in Siemian last year and they're flirting with another veteran backup here. But his rookie year, when they first snagged him from the practice squad and then had to call him up when the Case Keenum was running things in the early couple of weeks, like there was about 7 weeks where Sluter was one play away from being QB1. They're like, okay, let's roll with it. Even though that, you know, Bradford was still on the roster and Teddy was on the pup, just like, whatever. And Kubiak was in the front office when they got him as a UDFA in Denver, so he's got some clout there. Kubiak the younger was the assistant quarterbacks coach there too. So it's like, I think this is the silent coup. I think this is the deep state coming for Kirk, and Sluter's the Manchurian candidate.
That would be amazing. Yanka, would you get on board with that? Sluter is the new QB1?
No.
Okay. All right. I tried. Try it. Well, on that note, we're gonna go ahead and call this thing a wrap. Andy, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for staying up a little bit later than you normally would to chop it up with us this evening. Take it easy on Yanka tomorrow.
I'll think about it.
You can rough Miles up if you want to, but take it easy on Yanka because he gets it everywhere on all the shows all the time.
That's fair.
All right, but Andy, again, thanks for coming on. It was a lot of fun. Yanka, thanks for cutting your workout short to be with us here. Tomorrow.
Oh, we got a full workout in. We good. Yeah.
Hit legs tomorrow. Hit legs.
See, I'm busy. I got a podcast.
Do some squats. Do a deadlift. It's good for you.
I got a podcast I got to get to, you know, just my
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us. Y'all have a good night. See ya.